Brian, would you come forward? Thank you. A little distracting there.
Now I'm on. All right, so they're setting up the projector so we can view a little bit of a C-SPAN video footage of what the impact of the archives is to the national dialogue of politics, arts and literature, and everything else that the archive is. Again, I appreciate being able to address the National Board. Again, it's only been since 2001 since a representative from the archives has been able to speak on the behalf of the archives. Remember that we do not have an advisory board. We do not have a local board of any kind. So I am the only person that is charged with the duties and responsibilities of advocating for the archives. So I really appreciate you allowing me to speak. My notes are here. Wait. Thank you. You know, we've been doing a lot of work in the archives on a lot of levels since we have been given, again, the duties and responsibilities of creating different mechanisms for funding us. We have a staff of 7 that has done incredible work in programming, grant writing, creating new marketing plans, and in serving and contributing to the national programming of elections coverage. In your packets or on the table that I've handed out is a copy of the DVD that we're about to see a portion of, as well as the 2-hour documentary that Christopher Sprinkle helped us produce on the history of how Pacifica has covered the political National Party conventions since 1964, which was the first time Pacifica ever entered into those conventions. In the research that we did in the archive, we found out that Mike Hodel in 1972 did a documentary on the National Party conventions and found audio back to 1936. So in this documentary, we are able to cover every single National Party convention from 1936 to 2000. And it's an incredible piece. We're really very proud of it. Amy Goodman hosts it. And as of yesterday, we were confirmed by Democracy Now! That they will play the documentary in its entirety on July 15th and 16th to kick off Pacifico's national programming covering the elections. So what that means to both Pacifica and the archives is that the importance of the archives materials will be highlighted not only on our 5 stations and our affiliates, but the 256 stations and television stations that Democracy Now! Covers. We are working with Karen Pomer and Kathy Gronau at Creative PR to help market and promote the documentary and the elections coverage. So with affiliate stations and those markets that the archives is rarely entered into, we'll be helping with press and community events and anything else that we can do in those areas. Are we about ready?
Yeah.
Okay, so for the moment, table this for a moment. We'll take a view for about 5 minutes of what we've got, and then we'll talk some more. Sound?
Audio, yeah. Wow. Oh, there he is.
We don't do audio.
You're at the second like level. You gotta turn the volume up on the computer.
That's why he said bash.
Oops. He's trying to figure out what he's gonna say.
I hope you don't shuffle paper like that.
Save them. We saw America lose her sense of morality as she accepted very coolly a me lie and refused to give up the image of American soldiers that hand out chocolate bars and chewing gum. We learned the meaning of free fire zones. Shoot anything that moves. And we watched while America placed a cheapness on the lives of Orientals. We watched the United States' falsification of body counts. In fact, the glorification of body counts.
We listened while month after month we were told the back of the enemy was about to break. We fought using weapons against Oriental human beings with quotation marks around that. We fought using weapons against those people which I do not believe this country would dream of using were we fighting in a European theater, or let us say a non-third world people theater.
And so we watched while men charged up hills because a general said that hill has to be taken. And after losing one platoon or two platoons, they marched away to leave the hill for the reoccupation of the North Vietnamese. Because we watched pride allow the most unimportant of battles to be blown into extravaganzas. Because we couldn't lose, and we couldn't retreat, and because it didn't matter how many American bodies were lost to prove that point. And so there were Hamburger Hills and Caissons and Hill 881s and Firebase 6s and so many others. And now we're told that the men who fought there must watch quietly while American lives are lost so that we can exercise the incredible arrogance of Vietnamizing the Vietnamese.
Each day,
making a very significant statement, and don't let him proceed.
Each day to facilitate the process by which the United States washes her hands.
Sort of explain what that all means. What you saw when it went to the flat screen, the very credit at the bottom was audio courtesy of the Pacifica Radio Archives. The NBC Archives and every other archive that dealt with this story found that all the content, all the audio and video had been edited for content. It was not edited for time restrictions. As you heard when it went, he said something derogatory about the military or something inflammatory. So as C-SPAN came to the archive and told us that they couldn't find it anywhere else, they repatched the entire speech, including the Q&A, and gave us the credit. So, I really can't stress enough how important this collection is and how important the discipline of the library and information science is to dealing with our collection and continuing archiving what we do here at Pacifica. I appreciate Jim and Otis and everybody else that is doing digital storage of audio on their websites, but I would appreciate it if we did not use the word archiving, because it is not the science of archiving. It is digital storage. And it is access to material as long as you know what it is. The difference between the digital storage and archiving is the science. There are entire schools dedicated to that science in universities. So when we talk about what that means, it's about finding something when you don't know what you're looking for. It's the metadata that creates the accessibility to researchers that don't know that, you know, Grenada had something to do with Haiti or that Vietnam had something to do with today. So I want to be able to stress how important the archive is and how important that science is. We do not have an archivist on staff. We do not have a cataloger on staff. But we are doing our level best in the small staff that we do have to make these materials accessible. This material that you saw today would not have been found and would not have been accessible to anybody had that metadata not been done, had that real archiving science not been done. So that's all I have to say about that. We can have the lights on if you want to continue. And I appreciate the time restrictions, but I would hope that you'd give me the courtesy to say all that we need to do. Really exciting things that has happened recently is our grants. As you know, we received a grant from the National Endowment for the Arts and the Recording Academy last year to get a formal assessment from experts, both in catalog and in physical preservation on our collection. And the biggest worry that they had was our space. So when we talk about the physical plant, we also have to add the archives into needing our own building and our own space, not only to house the materials, but to process materials in the way that the science requires. This June will mark the June 30th will mark the end of that first phase of the grant. We just recently finished a advisory panel that included scholars of ethnomusicology, politics, old Pacifica programmers, Margot Adler, celebrities, Tyne Daly, Lily Tomlin, Jane Wagner, writers, that went through a list of our arts and literature and music-related programs to choose the 100 most significant recordings that should be tagged and earmarked for the preservation process, not only the physical restoration, but the database correction and updating the description. So as soon as that's done in July, when we have our new website introduced, we will be able to post those 100 recordings that include Robert Lowell reading poetry, Lawrence Ferlinghetti, Dylan Thomas. And I'm actually really excited because the panel has found materials that I weren't aware of that were important. So I'm really excited to be able to present that list to not only you and Pacific community, but to the larger community that visit the Archives website. We were just informed since the last board meeting that both the NEA and the Recording Academy has awarded us a second phase grant to move into the second year. Those grants, the National Endowment for the Arts does have a cap of $15,000. We received $15,000. The Recording Academy more than doubled their commitment to us by giving us a grant of $39,000. In phase two, what we will be doing is taking the formal assessment that we got in phase one and making actionable plans on the physical restoration. And actually, most everything that they recommended, we've sort of done on our own anyway, in terms of equipment, in terms of learning and training, what we do with tape that is damaged and how we bake it. We actually have food dehydrators now that we bake tapes in. And recently we just finished our proposal for phase three for both the NEA and the Recording Academy, which will focus on radio drama, which was my idea as the mission statement requires radio drama. So that was sort of my little focus. And also the folios. We do have folios dating back to the beginning of the folios from every station, and those should be digitized and made searchable by researchers so that we know what to look for. And we know what audio is in the archive now. We know that there's stuff under people's beds and old producers that didn't know what to do with their materials. But now that those folios could be digitized, we would have a better record of being able to search of what happened on what day. And, you know, it's really incredible to know that classical music was right before a political speech, or that Edward Teller happened to go right after a poetry reading. Programming, elections, we talked about that. The website, we talked about that. Marketing. NFCB conference. We introduced and launched our marketing plan for the affiliates. And what this is about is not only creating a revenue stream for us and generating revenue with our premiums to the affiliates, but it's more about expanding our demographic, of creating a larger identity for the archives and having a better connection with a larger group of people that would know who we are. Before the year 2000, nobody really knew what the archive was or what we did or what we had, because it wasn't on the internet, for the database wasn't searchable. We didn't have a website. So even within Pacifica, nobody knew how to access that information other than by calling us and asking us what we had. So it's really important for us in the archive to have presented our book of premiums to the affiliates. Before we even got back from the conference, we had orders from affiliate stations, and we're committed to using our premiums on their stations during their fund drives. So not only are we generating funds for ourselves, but we're generating funds for our affiliates, and we're generating a broader range of knowledge from those listenerships in those areas that we don't touch ordinarily. So I'm really excited about that, and it's building, and we're really excited about building it even more. And I kind of think I'm done.
Yes.
Okay. Yes, you are. Okay. Again, the one-minute rule, if possible. Dave.
You know, the Internet got a bunch of government funding, and they thought at some point when commercial enterprises on it took off that private development could support the infrastructure, and they found out it couldn't. And I just want to say to the rest of this board that the archiving function should not be something that's paid for by the commercial enterprise. And they, no matter how it's marketed, no matter how brilliantly, it is the source of a lot of other richness, and it is supposed by policy to be funded. They've not gotten their 3% for a long time because everybody in the network had to sacrifice, but they do not have the access to revenue streams that the stations have. By policy, they're supposed to be getting central services money, and we have to restore that. We can't put the pressure on them, particularly now that Democracy Now! Disc sales are down so much. We just can't ask it. We have to make a commitment. As an educational institution, Marcus said, we're many things, also business. Well, our articles of incorporation say we're an educational institution, and we have to support this.
Carol, we're...
Can I just set the record straight on one thing? I hear everybody talk about the 3%. As if the archives is somehow being shortchanged. Let me be clear that under my stewardship, the archives has been a major priority for this organization. And in fact, the fact of the matter is that the archives budget has increased from $295,000 in calendar year 2001 to $695,000 this last fiscal. That is the single largest increase in any unit's budget in Pacifica over the last several years in the midst of a major financial crisis. The mechanism by which that is funded, yes, it has changed. It has changed. We fund the archives through different ways. For instance, they get affiliate revenues. That used to never happen. But because the funding mechanism has changed does not mean that the archives is being shortchanged or that anybody else is being shortchanged. So I want to make that clear to the entire community.
Thanks. Carol?
I noticed in the six-month budget versus actual reports for this year that you are under budget. You're not spending your budget for staff, and is that because the archivist... don't answer me. Just I want to get two questions out. The archivist, archivist and cataloger, and why aren't you funding or hiring those people? And my other question is, when I look at the net income, the cost of generating money for the archives has gone up significantly, as well as the income.
Right. Really quickly, and I will do this under a minute, and I appreciate Dan's clarification on what those mechanisms are. As far as the archivist and cataloger and the hiring, I, as the person who is in charge of staffing and everything, again, the finances have changed. We don't have that foundation that is concrete for me to say we can hire this and you will have a salary forever and ever, the archivist. We are just now getting into a whole new land. We've never had development. We've never had to market. We've never had to do what we're doing. And it is exciting, and it's successful. We're doing great work. But I'm not convinced yet that what we're doing is enough to say I can commit to two new positions. So as much as I have been begging, well, I won't use the word beg. Take it back. I take that back. As much as I've been wanting an archivist and a cataloger on staff, until our finances are secure, until we know that these mechanisms actually work and are proven that we can project in another year, I'm not going to do it.
Okay. Sonali?
Two questions. I understand that, and I think Dave alluded to it a little bit, I understand that Archives was getting a lot of revenue from tape sales of Democracy Now! At one point, but in recent times that income has dropped drastically. Can you explain why? Because I find that very concerning. Also, I understand there are plans for an Archives show, which would not only expose the amazing work that's stored in our archives, but also be a method of revenue. Is there any, like, can you just give us an update on that?
Right. Democracy Now!, as Dan said, our budget has increased more than any other budget in the network. And that was due largely in part to Democracy Now! Tape sales. They were the ones that basically saved us during the time when Central Services wasn't there. So we had this great revenue stream that we didn't really have to work for. All we had to do was duplicate the CDs and mail them out through our staff. That's what increased, that was one of the things that helped increase our budget. Now that we're seeing that as not something that we can count on.
Why not?
There are a number of factors. One of them is that Democracy Now! Is more independent than it was when it was completely owned by Pacifica in 1996 through 1999 or whatever year that they had the walkout. So website sales goes to Democracy Now! We still are getting CD sales through an 800 number, but again, the 800 number isn't announced by AMI. What we've done to battle that or to answer to that is that each station will have a tag on CD to play after the program so that the traffic is driven to both the website of Pacifica Archives and to the 800 number that would serve the archive.
We don't have that CD.
No, you're not going to get that CD. No, the GMs will get the CD. It's for the stations to play.
I mean, for traffic-wise.
Right. That's because it's still in my bag.
Why can't we just ask Amy to announce that number? I mean, she still says from Pacifica, this is Democracy Now!
You know, and one of the other reasons is that during fund drives, she's not allowed to place that number. The pitching during fund drive time is devoted for the station's fund drives. The more fund drives we have, the less time that it is given to the 800 number. The extra summer fund drives, that goes into it. Extensions of fund drives, that goes into it. So that it's not just about whether she will or she won't or what's going on. There's a number of reasons that contribute to that downfall of funding.
Okay, that's it. Sorry. Do you want to say something? Just 15 seconds.
Archives program. Producing an archives program will cost money.
Okay.
It's not in the budget.
Mark.
Okay. How are you? When you uncover products like the political, you know, convention or carry, and you put that together, do you then send out a big message to all the GMs and development managers that this product is available, you know, to serve, for example, as a premium on a show? I mean, do you give them a listing and do you flash highlights of things that you've uncovered?
Yes, we do. We do send out emails. We don't do press releases yet. Again, we're doing more of that as we get into the realization that what we have is newsworthy as well as just worthy of rebroadcast. The John Kerry speech actually was broadcast on Democracy Now! Initially, and then that's when NBC Archives found out that we had the lost footage. Development of premiums is always a question. We're doing a lot better in connecting with our station programmers. I met with KPFT staff and programmers a few nights ago to talk about premiums and how they utilize the archives, both in terms of research, using footage to tell new stories, but also in developing premiums. So I am encouraged that we'll do a better job of developing premiums for stations. But we don't want to do so much development and then have nobody at the stations willing to broadcast it or pitch it.
Okay, Gerald, and then Ray, and then that's it for Brian.
Okay, you know, look back down here.
I'm sorry, too late.
No, my hand's been up.
You skip our
I'm sorry.
I could talk to him out.
I would wave. I would give my time.
Okay, but thank you, because you've spoken a lot. Thank
okay.
you.
Settle down. We got it together. Come on now. You know, this is really true. Henry Ford, the great automobile manufacturer, said that history is bunk. That's what he told the world. But in fact, I think those of us that are conscious understand that for the working class and the oppressed, history is a weapon. It's a tool for our liberation. And that's why I look at the archives a little different, because I heard a speech by Fred Hampton on KPFA. I had never heard him, even though I was in the Panthers. See, I wasn't in that city. And I then understood why Mr. Hoover saw him as a person to be gotten rid of. Excellent, excellent stuff. The stuff, I'm sorry, man, I'm actually a little dissatisfied. I'm one of your boosters, but you ain't giving me nothing to work with, man. Y'all gonna have to unash the stuff some kind of way. Can you come up with, for instance, a Black History, you know, catalog, arts and drama, something like that? But I mean, you know, make it and then create them as people ask for them. How about that?
Actually, we do have on our website. We do have a study guide that was put together. So we do have a African American civil rights section. We have the environment, women's movement, and it's basically 10 or 12 of the best programs that represent those categories. I've always seen the archives as an academic study of what both we do and what the 20th century progressive movement has contributed to. So yes, we do that. And with the new program of premiums to the affiliates and our own stations, we do sort of create that. There's the Malcolm X page, the environment page, and sort of it's following along in what we do with our own fund drives on air in creating that hour-to-hour curriculum of looking at that.
Let me just say this last thing to you. It's not an academic question. Given the fact that it's not an academic question. Given the fact that the commercial capitalists are not interested in producing Malcolm X's recordings or anybody from the Panthers, it actually takes on a much more significant role. Finish.
I think, okay, Ambrose.
About 1994, thereabouts, Gail Christian, under instructions from the then executive director, packed up all of our archives in Washington, public affairs and music, and shipped at least 15 huge boxes of our material, cleaned out our archives. My question to you, did you find that material? Is it, for example, he talked about Fred Hampton. We used to do a daily show called Freedom of Speech, an hour every day beginning at noon, and it just wiped us out. Where are those?
They are in the archive in the climate-controlled environment. They are on shelves. They haven't been cataloged. The only way to know what's there is to walk in back on the shelf and find it. They had been categorized. I know what's like world politics, and there's some arts and stuff, and there's some morning readings and such. But there are about 5,000 to 7,000 recordings that have not been identified as to where it came from or what it is.
Yeah.
But yes, they're there.
Okay, thank you very much, Brian.
Thanks, everybody.
All right, it's 6:15. What is scheduled? Yeah, we'll have a break, but please, can you please come back in 10 minutes so that we can get started again? That would be at 6:25, and then we can get through the end of the agenda for today. Thank you.